along to this week's assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and once again, I'm joined this week by Mark Langdon and Dan Charles to look ahead to another busy weekend of Premier League and EFL action. Before we look ahead, though, to the Premier League fixtures over the course of the next few days, it's been a fascinating midweek of European ties in both the Champions League, of course, and Europa League and Conference League take place on Thursday evening after we've recorded this week's assist. So we'll focus on the Champions League. And Mark, we'll start off with you. I mean, obviously, the standout result, you'd have to say, was that 7-1 victory for Arsenal in Eindhoven.
I thought you was going to joke and say the Liverpool win over Paris Saint-Germain, that well-deserved 1-0 dominating thrashing of PSG. Yeah, I mean, the Arsenal result was a spectacular one. I mean, PSV, not a good side. I think that Arsenal, was it 3 shots on target in that first half and 3 goals, and PSV at the bar? So it was one of them games, really, when the first half, kind of everything just fell right for Arsenal, but I was impressed with the way that they sort of made sure that they put the tie to bed and, you know, kept going. Would have really helped them from a confidence point of view, because they've been struggling in front of goal. So to score 7 in a Champions League knockout away game is a great achievement against whatever opponents, really. So, it was an eye-catching result just because of how bad they've been, really, in front of goal in recent weeks.
And Dan, Mark scandalously suggested that Liverpool were lucky to get a win in Paris, but they and Villa probably fortunate to have home legs to come with an advantage.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic result in the end for Liverpool, wasn't it? I mean, obviously, lots going to be, said about the goalkeeper. I do think the quality of some of them saves was just absolutely out of the top drawer. I just think a lot of very good keepers wouldn't have made those saves. I mean, the one that, the cut inside and the fingertips, I just couldn't believe that he saved it. It was just an unbelievable, I shouted out to my son watching the game. What a save. But the Liverpool's performance was, they just didn't get to the intensity of the game, did they? There's a lot of poor defending in there, when Van Dijk playing offside when he shouldn't have done. With Liverpool, there's always a chance that they're going to find a moment, isn't there? Funny enough, the goalkeeper in the end, he actually played quite a big part in the goal, didn't he, of his punt downfield? But and Nunes, finding the layoff. But I think having got the result for Liverpool, however they, you can go over how poor they were and not deserving the result, but to go to Anfield now with a lead, I just think it's a completely different game at Anfield, and I would fancy them to go through. Villa, again, I mean, to get that, they're in such a strong position now, I don't think they'll take anything for granted as well in the second leg. And Bruges, they actually impressed me in the league phase, the game against Man City where they took the lead and and led for a long time. It's a great result for them to get the 3-1 win there, and you'd fancy them to go through.
So wins then for all three of the English clubs in Europe. How will they react, I wonder, in the Premier League this week? One of them is involved in the big match, our featured game in terms of this week's assist, and that is Arsenal, who make the trip to Old Trafford to face Manchester United at 4:30 on Sunday. In terms of the prices, United 4-1 to win this game. It's 3-4 Arsenal and 12-5 the draw. Mark, we'll start with you with this one. I mean, the one benefit that United can potentially take is maybe that Arsenal have used up all the goals in one game. But, Mikel Arteta, on the other hand, will be thinking, why on earth have we managed to score 7 in one and not been able to score in recent league games?
Yeah, I mean, when you said 3-4 there, Warrens, the odds, I wondered if you were talking about the winning margin that Arsenal will be going for in this game. I mean, you say that it's a sort of, one, maybe Arsenal have used up all their goals. I mean, I sort of revert back to what I said earlier, really. I just think it will give the front three, the confidence now that they were clearly lacking. I don't really see too many benefits here for Manchester United. I don't want to give the tip away right at the start, but to have two less days to prepare for the match, the fact that, we're speaking before United's trip to Sociedad, but presumably it's going to be a closer sort of second leg that they've got coming up next week, whereas Arsenal now are, you know, basically through to the Champions League quarterfinals. They can put everything into this game and then rest anybody they want to. It feels like sort of they hold all of the aces in this game. I suppose if you're looking for a bright spot for United, it's that some of their better performances have come in bigger games this season. They won at Man City, probably played their best performance of the campaign away, didn't they, at Anfield, when they got I thought it was a good result, a good performance when they got that 2-2 against Liverpool, and they knocked Arsenal out of the FA Cup. Those have been kind of the few bright spots in what has been a dreadful season.
Yeah, I think that's a fair summing up of Manchester United so far this season. Dan, I mean, with the gap that Liverpool have opened up at the top of the Premier League, does this tempt Mikel Arteta maybe into changing his approach, this win over PSV, thinking, do we focus more on Europe, thinking they've got a real chance now of going a long way in the Champions League?
I'm sure they'll focus more on Europe, you know, as the competition continues. But as Mark just mentioned there, I mean, the tie is effectively over. So, I'd be surprised, actually, if he... I mean, I'm sure he's going to be, you know, readying his second string, the reserves, to play, you know, now in the second leg of that tie. So that means, I would expect him to go pretty strong. As Mark's mentioned, they've had 2 days extra to prepare for the game. I can only see a strong Arsenal team. And while you can look at the gap, the way managers think, he won't just be looking at the title, although he says that he is. He's also going to be looking at, it's about a 10-point gap to the team sort of chasing for the Champions League, but there's still a lot of games to play. You've got to be a little bit careful you don't get dragged in, you know, to a scrap even for a top four, top five finish. And they'll certainly want to get most of those points in the bag now, rather than maybe, you know, having to go strong later in the season when, they will have, hopefully from their point of view, more Champions League games to come.
I mean, to the naked eye, we know how bad Manchester United have been at times this season. You know, you can see that from watching some of the games, but the stats are quite stark, aren't they? I mean, United marked 10 points outside the top eight, let alone the top four, and they've only won 9 games in 27 league fixtures this season. And then to be knocked out of the FA Cup in the way that they were against Fulham as well, you know, again, continually, week after week, questions about Amorim.
Yeah, I mean, that Fulham game was just so boring. There was just so little attacking intent until Fernandes equalised with, you know, a bit of individual quality. Like, Fulham were strolling through that game. They were like in second gear. It almost became too easy for them. And once Fernandes scored, they created a few opportunities in extra time and, you know, move things around up front. Odie up, you know, in the forward areas had some opportunities. Højlund just, you know, it seems like he's sort of scared to get into those positions at the moment for fear of missing him. You know, he's really lacking confidence. But yeah, the pressure is starting to build, at least externally, on Amorim. You feel like he needs to have a proper pre-season and to see what comes out of it, transfer windows, and then into next season. But he's kind of burning that goodwill, isn't he? You know, normally you get the new manager bounce, and imagine he wanted to come, didn't he, at the end of the season. He wanted to see out the campaign with Sporting. You could imagine that maybe, you know, United would have, I don't know, brought in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer again or somebody like that, and, you know, they would have done whatever they did this season. But then there'd be this, like, excitement and expectation in the summer. Unless they win the Europa League, there's going to be absolutely none of that going into the new campaign. So I think it is important, although there's nothing really riding on the league games for Amorim, I think it is important that he tries to get some wins and some belief into, I don't know if it's the supporters, himself, the players, those that are staying, just so that they go into the summer on the front foot. Because at the moment, it just looks like a job that's too big for him. And you wouldn't say that he's not the only one that's found it difficult, but he's struggling, it looks like, to be able to, you know, speak in the press conferences. He always seems to come out with the wrong things. And yeah, he's just not impressive from him really in recent weeks either. So no, the whole thing just looks completely broken from top to bottom.
And having said all that, Dan, it's a lot to take on board in terms of both those two teams. What we're looking at in terms of your best bet for the big match?
I just think Arsenal to win the game, I think, is a perfectly reasonable price. As I mentioned, from United's point of view, of course they're going to want to improve it in the league. But I think that as long as they can try and the longer they can stay in the Europa League, I think the attention on the league form, it will kind of be ignored to an extent, you know, while they remain in the Europa League. So I think everything's going to be thrown at this Sociedad tie, and I do think I can see him making quite a few changes for the Arsenal game. You're not going to want to be, if this tie is tight as we're expecting against Sociedad, you're not going to want to be then having players tired or being risked for injury before the crucial second leg. So against the United team, down on confidence, and I'm expecting it to be not full strength. Arsenal, as I've mentioned, with their tie being effectively won, I think they'll go strong, going to be full of confidence now, especially Odegaard, one of the real key men that was underperforming, to get his couple of goals and assists. He's going to be full of himself now. You know, you can see him sort of dictating and running the game. And I think Arsenal will get a comfortable victory.
Despite all of the problems that United have had, Mark, it still seems strange saying 4-1 for them to win at Old Trafford in any game.
Yeah, and this is what I was going to speak about, really, is that, like, you just got to forget they're called Manchester United and just look at what the team is and how they're performing and how bad they've been. And there isn't that much difference in the price between Arsenal going to Man United and Man City going to Forest this weekend. And, on all known evidence of this season, Arsenal are better than Man City, and Forest have been better than Man United. It feels that, you know, that City game feels like it's a harder one, but it's almost impossible for bookmakers to kind of price United up at, 7-1 or something like that. I'm not saying they should be 7-1, but I think they should be bigger than 4-1 to beat Arsenal for all the reasons that Dan has mentioned. They're just a very bad football team. They're no clean sheet in 10 at home. And if you look at the squad they've taken to Sociedad because of the injuries, they've only taken 18 players and three of those are goalkeepers. They're decimated as well, which is not helping them. I'd be disappointed if Arsenal don't win the game. And I think that they'll kick off shorter than what price they are at the moment.
OK, well, that is the main game of the weekend wrapped up. It's a 4:30 kickoff, don't forget, on Sunday for Manchester United against Arsenal. Time now to go through the rest of the Premier League fixtures. And we'll start off with that game that Mark just mentioned. It's the early kickoff on Saturday, a 12:30 start at the City Ground for Nottingham Forest against Manchester City. Forest 29-10, City 9-10, and the draw 27-10. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. Watched quite a bit of the Forest game against Ipswich in the FA Cup, and the more the game progressed, the better Forest became. I think that's probably because they threw a bit more at Ipswich as the game went on. How do you see them faring here?
They did better as the game went on, didn't they? Because they brought some of the better players on, and that started to make a difference. But I agree with Mark that this is a tougher game for City going to Forest than Arsenal is going to Man United. But I also still think City, at a shade of odds on, are perfectly reasonable to back. I do think that they're starting to really focus now, City, on the FA Cup, but also on having a really strong end to the league season. The way they played against Spurs in the win recently, and how they celebrated after that game was noticeable as well, how important they saw that result. I don't think there's going to be a drop-off from City in their league performances now. Only against Plymouth, I know, but I thought a lot of the second string impressed as well in that game. And Forest are having a bit of a dip. They just look like they're going off the ball at the moment. 1 point in 3 Premier League games, that's kind of almost as poor a run, I would imagine, as they've had all season. They're certainly focused on this. You could tell that, you know, from the team that he picked from the start against Ipswich. But I just think the way they're playing recently in the league, they're not going to be strong enough. City to win for me.
Read an article this week, Mark, which suggested that Rodri was back out on the grass in his attempt to get back to playing. And even if he's not back anytime soon, that would surely give City players a bit of a lift.
Yeah, I think it would be wrong to risk him now. I think that there's bigger things for Man City to think about. League title next season, Champions League next season. Don't do anything that would harm kind of his long-term availability, because going to be absolutely critical for them next season. What I would say is I think that City signings actually have made a bit of a difference. You'd hope that they would. They've cost a lot of money. But I thought even Kuzunov, who had a nightmare debut, played very well at Spurs, particularly first half. Nico Gonzalez is better than what they had in midfield. He's not as good as Rodri, but it was a problem area for them. And Marmoush, he was involved in that sort of goal that eventually won the game at Spurs. Didn't score it, but we know that he did, obviously, against Newcastle. And that's I'm looking, City in recent weeks have beaten Newcastle 4-0, have beaten Tottenham 1-0 away from home. I think they'll be up to the task here of beating a Nottingham Forest team that's lost 3 of their last 5 Premier League games.
Well, there are 3 games kicking off at 3 o'clock on Saturday, and we'll start off with the clash at the Amex. And it looks like an intriguing clash as well between Brighton and Fulham. Brighton 10-11 here to win the game. It's 29-10 Fulham, and the draw 13-5. Both of these two teams, Mark, of course, progressing in the FA Cup last week, but both of them seemingly in decent form. It should be a cracking game.
Yeah, I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals. I think you could make a case for both teams, really, in terms of the sort of match betting. Fulham have only lost 1 of 10 games against the team above them currently in the table. So, they're a difficult side to put away. But I was sort of, when I looked more into those stats, 8 of those 10 games had over 2.5 goals, and they've scored in all of them, Fulham. So it doesn't necessarily look like on paper they carry a massive goal threat, but they are a team that I think is efficient in terms of their attacking, whether it's Pereira or Iwobi or Smith Rowe. They've got a couple of different options up front. They do seem to score in most of their games, and we know that Brighton are a kind of attack-minded team. So, yeah, I think it'd be a good game, over 2.5 goals.
Dan, I know you spoke up about Brighton last week, been impressed with them over the last few weeks. Can you see them getting a win here?
No, I've been impressed with them, but I just think that the prices, I think they're very, very similar ability teams, having excellent seasons. I mean, you mentioned that they're still in the FA Cup, although their positions 8th and 9th in the league, they're actually not many points off the, at this stage of the season, the race for Champions League qualification. They're in, it's these two clubs for their size are having fantastic seasons. The other thing, I mean, you mentioned the price for Brighton, a shade of odds on. Both these teams, their home advantage doesn't seem to be worth a great deal to them. They both won more away games in the Premier League than at home. So Brighton have had issues against some of the lesser teams at home in the Premier League. Fulham are certainly not one of the lesser Premier League teams. And Fulham are going there at, I would say, probably a decent time. Mitoma looked like he got an injury, didn't he, towards the end of the cup game at Newcastle. We know how well he's been playing recently. You had Lamptey got the red card. He's going to be suspended. So I just think that Fulham, at the odds, shade of odds on, Fulham will draw a double chance. That looks big enough to me.
OK, well, up next, it's to Selhurst Park for Crystal Palace against Ipswich. Palace, of course, another team still in the FA Cup after last week. They are 12-25 to claim the victory in this one. It's 7-2 the draw and 21-4 Ipswich. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. I just wonder whether Mateta will play any part, and if he doesn't, how that might impact Palace.
I'd be amazed if Mateta did play any part. I mean, after the damage done there, last week by that challenge. Not sure I'll call it a challenge. And he'll be a loss to them as well. He's, I think towards the end of last season when he went on that scoring run, people were wondering, is it a bit of a streak? But he's actually gone on, hasn't he, this season? Looks like an ungainly sort of striker, but he's certainly effective. And I think Palace will miss him here. However, I do think Palace will get the win. They've been on such a good run recently, going well in the FA Cup, 5 wins from 7 in the Premier League, which for a team of Palace's size is a real good run. Ipswich, on the other side of things, are really struggling. At one point in the last 7 games, a disappointment of getting knocked out of the FA Cup against Nottingham Forest. So I see a Palace win, but without that Mateta threat, go for a lower scoring kind of game. So Palace to win and play it really safe, under 4.5 goals. That's a shade of odds on.
Yeah, Mateta will be a big miss, Mark. But I have to say, Adam Wharton's come back in after a long time out, and it's almost like he's never been away.
Very influential in the game I watched in the sort of last midweek round of Premier League games against Aston Villa. That was in front of Thomas Tuchel. England squad should be announced soon, shouldn't it? Sort of any day now. Be interested to see whether Wharton is in it, because England don't have that many sort of players of that type in midfield. Clearly been missed, but he's got that sidekick Will Hughes next to him that seems to win a lot of free kicks. He's very good at winning a free kick, Will Hughes. I put him in sort of one of the world's best at sort of just getting his body in the way and falling over, which seems to just stop the game when teams are trying to attack against Crystal Palace. But they're doing a lot of things well, Palace, and Wharton in midfield is going to add just that bit of quality outside of kind of, Glasner's very good at setting the team up, but you then want those bits of quality, and whether it's Saar or Eze or Wharton, to just sort of, take you on to that next level. In terms of this game, I'm going to go for both teams to score at 19 to 20. Ipswich, both teams to score, has landed in their last seven games, and actually in 13 of 16 away from home this season. They do carry a forward threat, but defensively, you just can't trust them. And I was looking at Palace's stats, and actually only got one clean sheet in their last 11 at Selhurst, and that was against League One Stockport. So, you kind of imagine that Crystal Palace are this well-drilled defensive unit, but teams have been finding a path to goal against them. So maybe Ipswich can as well.
The third of the 3 o'clock kickoffs is at Anfield. It's top against bottom as Liverpool take on Southampton. Not surprisingly, the Reds are as short as 8-1 on to win this. It's 16-1 Southampton and 17-2 the draw. Is it as straightforward as it looks, Mark?
Yeah, I think so. Liverpool potentially will rest players and think about the game they've got coming up against Paris Saint-Germain. They had a difficult night on Wednesday, didn't they? Even though they won in Paris, a lot of hard work went into it. So, I mean, those are the hopes for Southampton. But realistically, the gulf between top and bottom doesn't feel like it's ever been wider, really, in the Premier League. I think one interesting stat is that Premier League home wins is running an all-time low, apart from sort of the COVID time when there were no fans. So Simon Joles in the Racing Post for being Friday's newspaper online on Thursday has done like a good sort of feature on kind of why that is and kind of the profitability of backing away teams this season, and sort of a lot of in-depth stats gone into it. I'll just say I don't think Southampton will be adding to that tally. I've gone for Liverpool and over 3.5 goals at 8-11. Southampton lost all 11 against the top seven this season. Three of those actually were only 1-0 defeats, but in the others there were big blowouts, and this feels much more like a blowout than a 1-0. So Liverpool to win by a wide margin.
It's one of those games, Dan, you'd suggest, where you have to dig deep for value here. What are you looking at in terms of the best bet?
Well, Liverpool win to nil was odds against. I thought that was reasonable. I mean, I get the fact that they may rest a few players, but I don't see it being wholesale changes. There'll still be quite a focus. They're not going to want any mishaps. So I think they'll certainly be strong from the start. You can imagine players like Nunes and Elliot coming in who combined, didn't they, for the winning goal. So they're going to be full of confidence after combining for a winning goal against PSG. And Southampton, I mean, they just look, if anything, they're actually getting worse. I mean, I'm watching their games, the loss against Brighton, I mean, and the loss to Chelsea, they're barely laying a glove on teams in these matches, and you just can't see Anfield them creating many chances. I think Liverpool, they tend to be very organised and solid and structured, even against the lesser teams. So I don't see them kind of taking a casual attitude, and I think they'll run up a comfortable win with a clean sheet.
Potentially a more difficult game to call is the match at 5:30 in the Premier League on Saturday, and it is Brentford against Aston Villa. The Bees 5-4 to claim the victory, 15-8 Villa, and the draw 14-5. Dan, what have you been looking at here?
This is a game, because I've been looking at these prices for a while, because you had the FA Cup break, and I kind of wanted to back Brentford. I was looking ahead and thinking of Villa going to have the champions, playing after a Champions League game. Brentford, a tricky place to go. But the price for Brentford has just been absolutely hammered, and you know, I can't be backing them at the odds that they're at. So I'm going to go with the draw now, and you know, almost 3-1, 14-5 the draw. I think it will be quite an evenly contested game. Villa, although I expect they'll make changes, their squad actually looks in pretty good health at the moment, so they've got good, you know, good players to come into the side. And Brentford's home form, you know, well, they were brilliant at home earlier in the season. They've actually gone 7 games now without a win at home, including that FA Cup loss at home to Plymouth. So while I get and I appreciate, you know, every chance Villa could lose in between a big Champions League, you know, two big Champions League matches, I just think the Brentford price is shortened too much. So the draw for me.
I do remember you, Mark, and Dan suggesting earlier in the season that Brentford's excellent home record had a lot to do with maybe the fixtures that they'd had earlier in the season. This is going to be another test for them.
Yeah, it will. And yeah, they had a very easy start that they took full advantage. You still got to win those games, but they're now getting harder games and it's becoming harder to win. I've gone for a draw as well. Villa have drawn half of their last 10 league games, so 5 draws in their last 10 Premier League games. They've got shocking record after Champions League this season. So I think that's probably why the support has come for Brentford. But agree with Dan that it's probably gone too far now.
Normally, 5:30 will be the late game in the Premier League, but we've got an evening game to look forward to on Saturday, an 8 o'clock kickoff at Molineux for Wolves against Everton. This looked like it could be a 6-pointer a couple of months ago. Not necessarily the case now. Wolves 31-20. It's 19-10 Everton and 21-10 the draw. Mark, Everton look like they're well clear of it now, but Wolves, especially with that sending off of Cunha last week in the FA Cup, could yet still be dragged into this battle.
Yeah, shocking from Cunha to get himself sort of caught up in that. You know, really harms Wolves' ability, not only in terms of staying up in the Premier League, but, you know, in that game in the FA Cup, because he would have taken one of the penalties. And, you know, it was Doherty that missed the fifth one, wasn't it? So, you know, maybe, you know, he wouldn't have even had to take one. And Wolves would be in the quarterfinal of the Cup. So really poor from him. Great player, terrible attitude. Probably explains why he's at Wolves and kind of not higher up, sort of, you know, the sort of pecking order, whether that's Premier League or Europe. In terms of this game, I've gone for the draw again here, actually, at 9-4. Everton have had 3 draws in their last 4 Premier League games, and Wolves, Cunha's missed 2 league games this season. They've lost them both 3-0. So they've got nothing up front, really, without him. Wouldn't be surprised if it was no goal scorer, actually, in this finish 0-0. So, yeah, you might want to watch Britain's Got Talent instead or whatever it is on Saturday.
Yeah. David Moyes or Simon Cowell, that's your selection for Saturday night. Dan, what are we thinking here in terms of the game at Molineux?
Exactly the same, the draw. I just think Wolves without Cunha, that it just takes such a huge amount out of their attack. And Everton, you know Illiman and Jai and Calvert-Lewin, I'm not sure what his status is. He's been, you know, linked with, you know, they've been talking about him coming back for a while, but he's missed a lot of football now. So, you know, Everton are not really carrying a much of a threat. I mean, Beto's looked better, certainly under David Moyes, but I just don't see many goals in this game. And in a low-scoring game, the draw's always a big runner.
Let's quickly move on to Sunday then, where hopefully we'll have some more goals to watch in terms of the action. There are 2 games at 2 o'clock, and we'll start off with a match at Stamford Bridge where Chelsea take on Leicester. Chelsea 5-1 on to win this game. The draw is 7-1, and Leicester as big as 9-1. Again, it's hard to make a case for Leicester with their recent performances, Dan, but when you consider Chelsea's performances of late as well, it's a very unpredictable tie, I suggest.
No, you're right, Warren. It's very hard to make a case for Leicester. I agree with the first part of what you said. They're another time. I talked about Southampton. I watched Leicester's games against Brentford when they lost 4-0 and the West Ham game, the 2-0 televised games. Again, they're offering their fans absolutely nothing. Yeah. There's no intensity to their play. They just don't look like they're going to, you know, create a chance, let alone score a goal. So I'm going to go the similar way here that I did with the Liverpool-Southampton game. Chelsea to win 2-0 odds against. I know they've got this Copenhagen tie, and I think they are going to be treating these games more seriously now in the knockout rounds. I think they'll go stronger and maybe start resting a few players for Premier League games. But I still don't see, even if Chelsea rest a few players, that their squad is a bit thin at the moment, Chelsea. I'll throw that out there, that there's a lot of youngsters been on the bench. Maybe if they use too many of them, it could give Leicester a better chance. But no, I just see a comfortable Chelsea win. Chelsea to win 2-0.
I find it crazy, Mark, that there's only 5 points still between, say, Leicester and Wolves. And yet there seems to be no belief there whatsoever that they can turn this around and stay up.
Yeah, Ruud van Nistelrooy, that kind of choice hasn't sort of worked out, has it, so far? Yeah, it does feel like Leicester are in a similar place in the table to Southampton. When you hear the way their fans are speaking, the way that they're playing, no fire in their performances, and they seem to have accepted their fate that they're going to be relegated. There'll be easier points to pick up than away at Chelsea. I've gone for Chelsea to win 2-0 as well. Leicester failed to score in 6 of their last 7 in the Premier League. In their last 4 Premier League games, their total expected goals is 1.4. They're barely creating an opportunity at the moment. So, yeah, always slightly nervous with Chelsea because they've got a mistake in them, whether it's the goalkeeper or the defenders. But, I mean,
which goalkeeper?
Safety in numbers. Chelsea should win this one comfortably.
What looks like a more even game on paper takes place at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium at 2:00 at the same time. Spurs against Bournemouth. Tottenham 31-20, the draw 29-10, and it's 29-20 Bournemouth. Should mention, I'm giving you a pat on the back here again, Mark, but you've tipped up Bournemouth, of course, in the FA Cup. They're still going. And they're also going well still in the league.
Yeah, got Man City, haven't they, in the quarterfinals at home. Obviously don't want to be playing Man City. I was trying to think of the positives behind that. And I was like, well, it's the last opportunity to play City with home advantage. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I've now thought, oh, well, it's not too bad because, somebody needs to get rid of City. And maybe beating them yourselves is the best way of doing it. And you've got more chance at the vitality than you have at Wembley or the Etihad, of course. So, they're still in it. They're still going strong. I struggle to find a bigger sort of supporter of Bournemouth than myself outside of those that actually support Bournemouth. Tipped them on the Premier League handicap last season. Big fan of Iriola, but I'm not a big fan of their price to win this game. I mean, sort of, not far short of being favourites to win at Spurs. Just feels like it's gone a step too far. We don't know what team Tottenham are going to pick because they've got these big Europa League games, much like Manchester United. But what I would say is that Solanke, Van de Ven and Romero are all in need of kind of minutes. So there's a chance that actually, although they're kind of resting players, they might need to be using some of their sort of bigger name players to get minutes into their legs. And draw no bet, 5-6 Tottenham. It just instinctively feels like too big a price. I remember saying this about the Brentford game a few weeks ago. I we all know about Tottenham's problems this season, but they are getting players back and they're not as bad as the league table suggests.
I was just thinking about this, Dan, this week actually about Spurs. I mean, a lot has been made, quite rightly, about the amount of defensive players that have been missing. But I do think Solanke's been a big miss over the last kind of 6 weeks.
Yep, he's been a massive miss. And the two centre-backs, those three players that Mark mentioned for the spine of the team are huge. And I agree, factoring into what I'm thinking for this game. They're in training. I would not be surprised if maybe even some of them start this game, and irrespective of what he does, Postecoglou, because the squad now is looking much, much healthier, there is going to be a strong starting 11 and a strong bench. And I agree that the price for Spurs to me is just too big. I think it will kind of suit Spurs the way Bournemouth play, that they come at you, they will really have a right go, and I think that kind of suits Spurs to then have space to play themselves in attack. Bournemouth having a fantastic season, have lost 3 of the last 4 Premier League games, though. So there has been a little bit of a recent drop-off, and Spurs, with the players coming back, getting a lot stronger. So Spurs to win for me.
OK, last but not least, there is a Monday evening game to look forward to as well. An 8:00 kick-off at the London Stadium for West Ham against Newcastle. The Hammers 9-4, Newcastle 6-5, and it's 12-5 the draw. Newcastle, you could argue, have got bigger fish to fry coming up shortly when you look at the EFL Cup final, of course, and still looking at the top four positions as well, Dan, and hard to sort of fathom out where they are at the moment, who's going to play, because we've seen Isak rested in certain games as well. Has that impacted on what you've gone with here?
I'm not expecting them to rest a lot of players. I think they'll go strong. I mean, they're still right in the mix for Champions League qualification. I think when he rested Isak or said he had a slight injury, didn't they, at Liverpool, I think they're factoring in there that even if you go full strength, you're unlikely to pick any points up anyway. Going to West Ham, you are going to be looking from a Newcastle point of view, thinking you've got a good chance of winning the game. So I do think they'll go as strong as they can. I just don't think as strong as they can at the moment will actually get them anything. I think that was a disaster for them in the FA Cup to A, to be knocked out, and B, to lose Anthony Gordon as well. Big player for them. And I think West Ham, they are certainly picking up now recently. Really, you know, Arsenal got a lot of stick after the result when West Ham won there. But West Ham were really good. And, you know, excellent, deserved 1-0 win. Followed that up with a 2-0 win against Leicester, who just, you know, were just, you know, you couldn't really judge that game because Leicester were just so poor. But West Ham, two wins in a row, 9-4 at home. They beat Newcastle away earlier in the season when they were playing nowhere near as well, don't forget. So West Ham look overpriced to me.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned Cunha earlier on and the silly mistake that he made, Mark. We've got to also touch upon that for Anthony Gordon, who may well miss out now on the EFL Cup final.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell how biased some fans are. I saw a Newcastle fan saying it wasn't a red card. I mean, it definitely was a red card from where I was watching, unless the rules have changed. So, yeah, it was frustrating for Gordon. And the play actually would have been stopped, wasn't it? Because there was an offside, but because they were playing... playing on in case there was a goal and they went to VAR. Gordon got frustrated. Terrible moment for him and for their hopes of winning the League Cup. In terms of this game, I've gone for West Ham. Draw no bet. Can't disagree with anything Dan has said. We've agreed quite a lot on this show so far. The one thing I would also throw out there is that, you know, even in some of the games where West Ham haven't won under Potter, I thought they played well in the FA Cup defeat at Aston Villa. Didn't deserve to lose that one. Improved enough to get a point at Villa and nearly nicked it in the league. And I thought they were unlucky when they lost at Chelsea as well. So, I think that there's definitely been signs of improvement. And Jarrod Bowen, he gets a lot of respect, I think, but I still think he might be underrated. He's just an absolute, like, brilliant footballer. And just wonder if... there might be sort of clubs higher up the pecking order that look at him in the summer. He's really influential for West Ham. And he seems to now be able to play up front just as well as on the wing. So I'm not sort of coming up with anything new by saying Bowen is a good player. But I actually feel like he might be better than even sort of most people realise.
Yeah, I imagine he'll be included in Thomas Tuchel's first England squad, which will be announced soon as well. So that is the Premier League covered then this week. Up next is the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
So we'll start our EFL section with the match in focus this week, and we've gone into League One because it's a big game in terms of the battle for playoff places. It's at Edgeley Park where Stockport take on Charlton. It's one of the early kickoffs as well on Saturday at 12:30. Stockport 5-4, Charlton 11-5, and the draw is 21-10. Fourth against sixth here, Dan. As I say, both of them looking to try and secure playoff places. And how do you see this one going?
I think this is going to be tight. I'm going to go with the draw. Put the tip out straight out there straight away. I think both teams will make the playoffs. Stockport, everybody were looking to see how they would cope after Louis Barry left at the start of the year. Well, since he's left the club, I've got to admit, I thought they would drop off and struggle. But to be fair to them, 24 points from 12 games, they have not stopped. They're still got, you know, 2 points per game since then. Other players have stepped up. Player they brought in January, more recently, Benoni Andresen, who they got in from Icelandic football. He's come off the bench to great effect in the last two games, scored two goals in a 2-1 win at home to Blackpool, come off the bench again at Northampton to help them get a 1-1 draw, scored in that game. I think he could well be in line for a start here. But Charlton, are one of the form teams in the division. 5 wins in their last 6 games under Nathan Jones. Earlier in the season, they had quite a few injuries. Now their squad's very healthy. As I said, I think they'll make the playoffs, and I think they'll pick up a point here as well. Draw for me.
Yeah, it was a draw when they met at the Valley earlier in the season as well. 1-1 scoreline on that occasion. And Dan thinks it could be the same again. Stockport against Charlton, just to remind you, one of the 12:30 kickoffs on Saturday. Time now for Dan's EFL selections for this weekend. 3 picks normally, Dan. And who are we going with as the first choice this week?
I'm going to go with, I mean, probably looks an obvious one on the coupon, but the price to me looks too big. Sheffield United at home to Preston. Sheffield United 7-10. I think that's a bad price for them to win this game. I mean, you, when you see a price like that, you often wonder, is this too good to be true? You do more digging. But actually, their squad looks in much healthier shape than it was earlier in the year when they had quite a few injuries. They had played well in that game against Leeds recently where they took the lead, started the game incredibly well, ended up losing 3-1 for some late goals for Leeds, but no disgrace in that. Bounced back brilliantly to win a tough game away to QPR 2-1. And you look at overall, the points gained, because they had the 2-point deduction, they're 1 point gained less than Leeds at the moment. I mean, they're a very, very strong side with good players, match-changing players, the likes of Gus Hamer, Callum O'Hare, who I really rate. And Preston, they're having an okay season, aren't they? I mean, the FA Cup's been the highlight of it. You know, the only championship team to get through to the quarterfinals. But there'll be a bit of a focus on that now. They're kind of in mid-table, kind of no man's land, if you like, in the league now. Drew 0-0 at home to Swansea in the week. And I don't see them getting anything at Bramall Lane. So Sheffield United for this one. Dropping into League One, I'm going to go with Mansfield or draw, double chance away to Stevenage, which... people might recoil at this initially because they're 11 league games without a win, Mansfield. Well, I'm not backing them to win. I'm backing them to draw or win. And the last 2 games they have drawn and they've been absolutely dominant in them. They got a 1-1 draw away to Burton last weekend, won the shot count 22-6. A 0-0 draw at home to Wigan midweek, won the shot count 21-4. So really, they should have had 6 points, Mansfield, last 2 games. Another team that had injuries and have been getting... some players back, some players getting re-injured, but they're looking certainly stronger than they were about a month ago. And Stevenage have had 2 wins in their last 8. They were like 1-0s that they ground out away to Shrewsbury and away to Cambridge this midweek. I don't think they're a wonderful side, Stevenage. Mid-table team, similar ability, I think, to Mansfield. And I think certainly Stevenage are worth taking on in that one. And finally, going to finish off with... League Two, going to go with Wimbledon to win at home to Notts County in a battle of the promotion chasing teams. Wimbledon odds against, their home form is really good. 36 of their 57 points have been at home. They have had a couple of defeats recently. Lost at home to Bromley 1-0 last Saturday. Lost away to Morecambe 1-0 on Tuesday when Johnny Jackson rested a lot of players. I think took a few liberties with Morecambe. A lot of players rested, including the likes of James Tilley, Stevens and Boogill, who are their starting front two. Now, he's looked to try and get away with one there because he's got the big game against Notts County at the weekend. You can be sure they'll be full strength at home to Notts County, who have had a dip at the moment. Now, David McGoldrick's been out. They've been missing him, his influence. They lost... they had a recent win at home to Tranmere where they were kind of lucky to get away with it. Won the game 2-1, but Tranmere had a lot of chances. Midweek, they've actually come a cropper. Lost 2-1 at home to Barrow, who are dreadful normally on the road. So for me, Wimbledon, despite the 2 recent defeats, can bounce back with a win here. Wimbledon to win.
Okay, so just to remind you of Dan's 3 selections, Sheffield United, Mansfield double chance and Wimbledon for the EFL tips this week. Up next, it's Mark's chance to get his best bets across in terms of the Bet Builder and the Prop Shop. So the Bet Builder first, Mark, and which game are we looking at?
I've gone for the game at Old Trafford, Manchester United against Arsenal. You know, it used to be the blockbuster fixture, didn't it, in the Premier League. But I think it should be a routine victory for the Gunners. I'm going for Arsenal to win the game. Just think that, you know, United are just well off it. Not only this season, it's been, you know, a steady decline, hasn't it? But they've got injuries as well now. Also got a difficult Europa League doubleheader coming up against Sociedad. I'm also going for Manchester United not to score in the game outside of Bruno Fernandes, who I think gets really harshly criticised, actually. He's the one player in that team that is quality and like looks to me like he tries and, you know, runs hard and does his best every week. And it must be difficult to keep your spirits up when you're playing with the amount of duds that he's having to. And yet you know, Roy Keane picks on him rather than some of the others, but, you know, bizarre. But outside of him, like, just where are the United goals coming from? We've seen in recent games, they're not even creating chances. They're not having shots. So, and Arsenal, very good, usually, defensively. So, Arsenal to win, to nil, effectively. That's two legs. And then Mazraoui to be carded. Only picked up four cards so far this season. So, he actually doesn't get carded that often. But he does commit a lot of fouls. And, you know, it's a difficult game against some tricky Arsenal sort of forward-thinking players. So, yeah, that's the bet builder. Comes in to around about 11 to 1.
Okay, well, that's Mark's bet builder selection. We also like to give you at least one prop shot before the weekend as well. And what we're looking at here, Mark?
Yeah, I've gone for the Crystal Palace against Ipswich game. And Ipswich have got a lot of players that sort of play in behind Liam Delap. You're never quite sure which three Kieran McKenna's going to go for. But Philogene, one of the arrivals more recently, I think he has come in and made an impact and started to make one of those positions sort of his own. And if I'm backing him to have a shot on target at 13 to 8. In his last three starts, he's had 11 shots and six shots on target. So, you know, the volume's there, the accuracy is there. Difficult game away to Palace, but, you know, he's somebody that likes to take responsibility. And I thought 13 to 8 was a big old prize for him to have an effort on target.
Yeah, definitely a healthy option then for Philogene to get a shot on target at Selhurst Park. Time to turn our attentions now to the assist treble. Came very close to a winner last week. Let's see if we can go one better this time round. Dan, we'll start with your selection first for the treble.
Yeah, she's going to go with Sheffield United to win that championship game at home to Preston. 12 wins in 17 championship home games for Sheffield United. I mentioned looking strong with injuries. Kiefer Moore, key striker for them, was an unused sub for in that 2-1 win I mentioned away to QPR. And Preston, they're doing okay, but, you know, away from home, not got a great away record. Last away game, they lost 2-1 at Coventry, who have been playing well, but they were flattered by that scoreline. Coventry battered them most of that game. So this is certainly at least as tough going to Bramall Lane, Sheffield United to win.
And what about your tip, Mark? Where's your treble selection?
Yeah, hopefully Paul Heckingbottom doesn't come back to Bramall Lane and get one over his former club there, and Sheffield United can kick us off. I'm waiting until the Sunday. I'm going for Arsenal to beat Manchester United. I've mentioned it a couple of times already. I think if you have a look at United on expected goals this season, so their expected goal difference, so goals for and goals against, is 15th best in the Premier League. So their position in the Premier League table is justified, which is remarkable given their budget and their stature as, you know, absolute giant of English football. But they're just not very good at the moment. Only been able to take 18 players to Real Sociedad. Three of those are goalkeepers. So they've got injuries as well. They're lacking confidence. Arsenal are lacking strikers. But I think one goal might be enough. They should have enough in them to be able to win this game at Old Trafford.
Okay, so we've got one championship tip, one from the Premier League, and I'm going to go into League Two. And, well, the team in form there at the moment is certainly Bradford City, and they face a team completely out of form when they travel to the Priestfield to take on Gillingham. Bradford around about 90-20, might even be able to get even still on them at the moment. They're up to second in League Two, and they're now just 2 points behind leaders Walsall, having won four on the spin. And that included an away win last week as well when they came from behind to claim the victory. Gillingham have won just one of the last 15 in the league, and they are in danger of being dragged into this relegation battle. Their only win, of course, as well, came against second from bottom Morecambe. So not in good form at all. Low in confidence, and I think Bradford can go and claim another away win on Saturday. So just to remind you of the assist treble, Sheffield United, Arsenal and Bradford. And all that remains for us to do now is to wrap up with the two naps from Mark and Dan this weekend. Mark, we'll start with your nap first.
West Ham or draw, double chance against Newcastle. So effectively Newcastle not to win the game. This match on Monday falls in the same week as the Wembley final. So even if they are sort of focused in terms of team selection, I do wonder whether the players will start to think about Wembley. They just feel vulnerable to me around about 5-4 to win this game with no Anthony Gordon. Doubts over Isak's sort of fitness and ability to play a full 90 minutes at the moment. I think West Ham are improving and wouldn't be at all surprised if they got at least a point from the game.
And Dan, who's your NAP selection?
Going to go with Mansfield or draw a double chance in their League One match at Stevenage. I mentioned Mansfield in them draws against Burton and Wigan, where they've absolutely battered the opponents without getting the wins. I think they'll get at least a point against Stevenage, who are the second lowest scorers in League One, haven't scored more than one goal in any of their last eight games.
Okay, well, big thanks to both Dan and Mark once again for their insights into this weekend's football. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. And, of course, just a couple of reminders for you as well. If you like your golf, every Tuesday, the Sweet Spot with Steve Palmer. Players' Championship coming up next week, the unofficial fifth major. We've also got, of course, the Cheltenham Festival next week as well. You will not find any better video content than on the Racing Post YouTube channel for that in the build-up to Cheltenham. We'll be back, of course, next Thursday with the assist to look ahead to yet more Premier League and EFL action. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend and please remember to gamble responsibly.